God bless you, Brother Chris. Thank you. Singing God's Word is easier said than done. Sometimes I hear church members say, Brother Richard, we just need to sing God's Word. Well, that's just what happened right there. You didn't add anything else to it, not any way that you were inspired. You sung God's Word. Thank you, Brother Chris. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, if you have your Bibles this morning, let me invite you to find Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 1. And as you're finding Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 1, I'm also going to invite you, if you have picked up one of your copies of these booklets today in your Sunday school small groups, I want to encourage you to find that. You say, Brother Richard, I don't have one. Were you in your Sunday school small group this morning? They are available in your Sunday school small group. We do have a few extra copies in the foyer, but that was by design that we wanted to disseminate those through our Sunday school small groups. This Rise Up booklet will be key for you for the next 6 weeks, and that you will use it again and again and again is my prayer. And you can see I've put my name on the front of mine, and I invite you to put your name somewhere on yours. And if you're wondering what in the world is Rise Up all about, well, there is a letter from me on the inside cover of that booklet that lets you know what Rise Up is about. And then also the table of contents. This book is full of information about these next 6 weeks. We have some great testimonies from longtime Emory Baptist Church members in this booklet, including one from Martha Lyle, and one from Brennan Potts, and one from Leah Drown. Also, you will find the architectural rendering of our Family Life Center that is being proposed, both the exterior and the interior, on page 8. And at the top of page 8, very clearly what our goal is and what we're seeking to accomplish through this Rise Up initiative. Also, beginning on page 11, you will find 6 weeks worth of devotionals. Now, these are just one per week. And so I would encourage you to use this booklet and perhaps use this devotional on Sunday mornings before you come to church. So week 1 is there on page 12, and week 2 on page 13 and following. If you look at page 19, you will find the complete schedule for our Rise Up initiative beginning today, September the 18th, going all the way through Sunday, November the 6th, where we will have our first fruits offering. On pages 20, 21, and 22 are some frequently asked questions, because we know that there will be questions that you have and that you're asking, and our capital fundraising team has done the very best that they can in anticipating those questions and providing for you a satisfactory answer. So I would encourage you to read through those FAQs thoroughly and completely. And then on page 23, you'll find a place where you can take notes for today's sermon, week 1, Rise Up and Remembering God's Faithfulness, from Nehemiah chapter 1 and 1 through 3, pages 24 and 25, where your Sunday school small group discussion questions that you already went through this morning. And then following are week 2 and week 3 and week 4 and week 5. And so again, let me encourage you to pick one of these up. If there aren't any more in our foyer, you can again find one in your Sunday school small group. We encourage you to use them. Use them all week long. Use them all of the rest of September and October. And let's see what the Lord will do in our midst. If you have found Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 1. Would you stand this morning, following along as I read God's word, and we're standing in honor of God's word, if you're able, either on the screens behind me or in your copy of the scriptures. Nehemiah chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. It came to pass in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for bringing us to this point. And as we kick off this Rise Up initiative today, Lord, would you speak loudly and clearly to us here at Emory Baptist Church. And may, Lord, we honor you with every area of our lives. And we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. And you may be seated. So we're beginning this new series today. And we are pausing the Gospel of John on Sunday mornings. And so it's going to be a little bit different for the coming weeks. And it was a little bit different this morning, I know, in your Sunday school small groups. But it has been well said. And you may want to write this down for future reference. A bend in the road is not the end of the road unless you fail to make the turn. Amen? Amen. We like our own comfortable patterns. And generally speaking, we are adverse to change and different. But let me say that again. A bend in the road is not the end of the road unless you fail to make the turn. Well, we're going to take a slight turn this morning from the Gospel of John and to the book of Nehemiah. Now, fear not that last Sunday in October, October the 30th, we will return to the Gospel of John, John chapter 9, and we'll remember where we've been, and we will look at the sixth sign that the Lord Jesus does in John's gospel, healing the man born blind. So I'm already looking down the road, and I know that you will also anticipate that with me, but for today and for the next 6 weeks, we turn our attention and our focus to Nehemiah. Rise up. Rise up and remember God's faithfulness. Over the next 6 weeks, brothers and sisters, I am going to encourage you. I am going to challenge you to take your commitments to the next level. To rise up. And for whatever that means for you, to take your commitment to the next level for anyone and everyone who calls Emory Baptist Church home. If you're a guest with us this morning and you're not a member of Emory Baptist Church, I'm going to challenge you to strongly consider that over the next 6 weeks and taking your commitment to the next level through formal church membership. If you're not serving in a ministry, find a ministry to serve in. We have plenty, and we need your help. If you are not a regular financial giver, I want to challenge you to become a regular financial giver. If you're not a tither this morning, I want to challenge you to become a tither. And if you are a tither, I want to challenge you to consider a level of giving that will challenge you. That will challenge you and challenge your faith. See, the next 6 weeks will be a challenge for me. Because I'm not accustomed to preaching a series like I'm going to be doing through Rise Up. But I've remembered that a bend in the road is not the end of the road unless you fail to make the turn. So I'm committing to make the turn. And I hope you will commit to make the turn with me and be challenged to take your commitment to the next level. I hope that you will take your commitment to the next level with your attendance. Now, this is so foreign in the world in which we live today. But I want you to challenge you to do something really crazy. To be here for the next 5 weeks. 5 consecutive weeks. You mean, Brother Richard, not miss an entire Sunday in 5 weeks? That's exactly what I'm saying. And what used to be the norm is now the exception. And so beginning today and for the next 5 Sundays, 6 weeks in total, I hope that you'll make a commitment to be here at Emory Baptist Church, to be a part of one of our Sunday school small groups, and to be a part of this Rise Up initiative. Let me share with you the context of Nehemiah. God had disciplined Israel for their disobedience. And he raised up some pagan nations. First, the Babylonians, who sacked Jerusalem and carted off many of her residents with them. But then, after Babylon was Persia. Persia defeated Babylon, and many of the exiles ended up in a place called Shushan, or in your Bible, it may say Susa, which was the capital. And Nehemiah, the man Nehemiah, had risen to a very prominent position. He was the chief cupbearer, possibly the person that the king trusted the most. He was the cupbearer to King Artaxerxes. And in today's text, Nehemiah received an alarming message. A message that he wasn't expecting, and a message that he didn't want to hear from those who remained in Jerusalem. The gates and the walls of the city remained in ruins. Nehemiah was heartbroken, but yet God was preparing him to lead the way in repairing the walls that had been torn down. Brothers and sisters, can we look at the text this morning and be reminded of God's faithfulness? Look there in verse 1. First of all, I want you to know that we are reminded of God's faithfulness as we know that He is always in control. God is always in control. Now, there is some debate as to whether Nehemiah was written by Ezra or Nehemiah. But regardless, it is told from Nehemiah's perspective, regardless as to who wrote it down. Nehemiah was the son of Hakaliah, and he had received a report about the last group of Jews who had returned to Jerusalem from exile from his brother Hanani. Now, the scriptures tell us there in verse 1 that it came to pass in the month of Kislev. Well, that was November, December. And it was the 20th year of the reign of the Persian king Artaxerxes. Now, where was Nehemiah when he received this report from his brother? He was in Shushan or Susa. And this was a citadel or a fortified palace because Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. By the way, how did this happen? How did Nehemiah get to be the king's cupbearer? Well, it was because of his reputation. It was because of his character. It was because of his behavior that he had ascended the ranks and became the man that the king trusted more than anyone else. Because what would a cupbearer do? Well, a cupbearer was the first to drink the drink. The cupbearer was the first to taste the food, so as to make sure that the drink and the food would not harm the king. Brothers and sisters, you may think, why does God have you in a particular job? Why does God have you, students, in a particular classroom? Why does God have you on a particular team or living in a particular neighborhood? Or some of you may even this morning ask the question, God, why do you even have me in this marriage if you are surrounded by individuals that don't want to have anything to do with God and don't want to have anything to do with Jesus? I want you to know Nehemiah was in that spot. And I want you to remember the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Why does God have you in that particular spot, at that particular job, working with those particular people, on that particular team, in that particular neighborhood? Why did he have Nehemiah here serving as the chief cupbearer to the king? To eventually point him, King Artaxerxes, to the Lord. Here's what 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11 says. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Verse 12, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Brothers and sisters, God has put you where you are providentially, sovereignly. And so rather than constantly putting your neck through the barbed wire fence, looking at the grass that is greener on the other side, let me encourage you to bloom where you're planted. Amen? And understand that God put you there in the same way that he put Nehemiah here. God was in control when he put Nehemiah in this place and at this time. And God would use Nehemiah in an unbelievable way to lead the way in rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem in a remarkable 52 days. And in the same way, I am reminded of God's faithfulness because he's still in control today. Amen? Rise Up is a 52-day challenge that we're beginning today. And if you have your booklet this morning and you want to turn to page 8, I would invite you to do so. Our goal is crystal clear. As we think about a Family Life Center and we think about how to pay for that Family Life Center, our goal is to pay for the entire cost of our Family Life Center in a 3-year period, beginning November 2022, by engaging every member of Emory Baptist Church in biblical financial stewardship. Now, the obvious question that many people ask, they ask it to me, they ask it when I'm not there, they ask it of others, but Brother Richard, why now? Why now? Can I take you back for just a moment? In 2010, God put the vision of a Family Life Center into the hearts of the people of Emory Baptist Church. And over the past 12 years, we have taken several steps to get us to where we are today. Obviously, that first step was God putting that vision in the hearts of our people. And then in 2015, after that vision was already planted here, mind you, in January of 2015, I had the privilege of becoming the 29th pastor of Emory Baptist Church. Therefore, I'm not leading out in my vision, brothers and sisters. I'm leading out in our vision. Because the vision predates the pastor. Since my arrival some 7.5 years ago, there have certainly been times when multiple church members have said to me, "Brother Richard, we need to get this ball rolling. What are you waiting on?" For various reasons, maybe because we were still in debt, but July 2017, Emory Baptist Church became debt-free on this facility, paying off the loan that we had acquired some 8 years after construction was completed. But again, I had a vision, adopting that vision that was true of Emory Baptist Church. I had a vision and a desire for a Family Life Center to be on this city block and not across the street. And so then in January of 2020, God allowed us to purchase the final piece to where we would own this entire city block and to do with it what the Lord directed us to do. But do you remember what else happened in 2020? Right after the Lord allowed us to purchase that final piece of property, to own this entire block, our world was changed forever in March because of COVID. But you know what? Was God still in control? Absolutely. God was in control during COVID. God is in control even though since COVID, we haven't seen some members. But God's in control. Amen. God was in control when churches and businesses shut down. God is in control during an increased racial divide in our country. God was in control during what could be argued as the craziest presidential election our country has ever known. And did you know in September of 2022, when we're hearing about things like inflation and recession and supply chain issues, God is still in control, brothers and sisters. There is nothing that is happening in 2022 that threatens God being in control. There's nothing that's happening in 2022 that has caught God by surprise. And so I would just remind you that we can remember God's faithfulness as He is in control. Number two, we can be reminded of God's faithfulness because He always provides. He always provides. Now, in Jerusalem, at this time, God had provided or preserved a remnant. What is a remnant? A remnant is a small group from a larger group. Well, God had preserved a remnant to join Nehemiah in rebuilding the walls. Well, who was this remnant? These are Jews who had escaped and survived the Babylonian captivity. However, look at the text. You'll see that they were in great distress and reproach, which, by the way, makes what they did all the more miraculous. But brothers and sisters, isn't that always God's way? Can't we see His faithfulness from Genesis to Revelation in providing again and again? Think about Genesis with me for just a moment. In Genesis, God provided a crazy preacher named Noah to build a boat and save the human race from something called rain. And God provided. And in 1 Samuel, God provided an unknown shepherd boy to take down the Philistine giant named Goliath and to bring glory to himself. And here in Nehemiah, God provided Nehemiah and this remnant to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem in 52 days. And we've seen this in John's gospel. Jesus turned water to wine. He healed the nobleman's son from a distance. He healed the paralytic of 38 years at the sheep gate. He fed 5,000 plus individuals with two biscuits and five sardines. And he walked on water and calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee. God is faithful. And he always provides. And I believe that God wants to provide through the members of little old Emory Baptist Church to build a facility for His glory and for His honor that can be used as a tool and a resource to reach more people in Raines County with the gospel of Jesus Christ and to meet their physical needs as well. Amen? That's why we're doing what we're doing. Not just to have a place where kids can hang out, not just to have a nicer fellowship hall and a bigger kitchen, but all of that resources and tools to gather groups of people and to point them to Jesus Christ. We can remember that God is faithful and has provided in the past and wants to provide in the future. And then thirdly, we are reminded of God's faithfulness because He is holy. Would you look back at verse 3 for just a moment? They said to me, "The survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire." Brother Richard, how is it that we can remember God's faithfulness by being reminded that He is holy? Why were these Jews distressed? Why was the wall of Jerusalem broken down? Brothers and sisters, God is holy. Amen? And as a result, He calls on His people to be holy as well. And when our lives and our behavior and our actions line up with His, then He will bless our obedience again and again and again and again. But when we choose to go our own way, and this is true individually, it's true as a couple, it's true as a congregation, If we choose to go our own way, then just as God is faithful to bless our obedience, He will also be faithful to discipline our disobedience. And that's what you have here in Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 3. Why were the walls the way they were? Why were the gates the way they were? Because of Israel's disobedience, God was disciplining them through the Babylonians and the Persians. I want you to listen to 2 Kings chapter 17. Listen to this, beginning in verse 5, 2 Kings chapter 17. Now the king of Assyria went throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it for 3 years. And in the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away to Assyria and placed them in Hala and by the Habor, the river of Gozan, in the city of the Medes. For it was so that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And they had feared other gods and had walked in the statutes of the nations whom the Lord had cast out from before the children of Israel and of the kings of Israel which they had made. Also the children of Israel secretly did against the Lord their God things that were not right. And they built for themselves high places in all their cities from watchtower to fortified city. They set up for themselves sacred pillars and wooden images on every high hill and under every green tree. And there they burned incense on all the high places like the nations whom the Lord had carried away before them. And they did wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they served idols of which the Lord had said to them, "You shall not do this thing." Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all of his prophets, every seer saying, "Turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets." Nevertheless, they would not hear, but stiffened their necks like the necks of their fathers who did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes and its covenant that he had made with their fathers and his testimonies which he had testified against them. They followed idols, became idolaters, and went after the nations who were all around them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. Brothers and sisters, I want to ask you something this morning. Are you distressed because your life, like these walls, are broken down? And is your life broken down and your parenting broken down and your job broken down and your finances broken down? Are you distressed because your life is broken down like the walls and the gates of Jerusalem? Could it be this morning that God is trying to get your attention to turn back to Him? To turn back to Him individually and to leave that personal sin behind and to turn back to Him as a husband and a wife and honoring Him with your marriage and with that most intimate relationship and to honor Him with your parenting and how you're leading your children. And the Lord Jesus in church is not just another option, but it's the number one option, fathers and mothers. And turn back to Him with your finances and how you spend your money and how you live your lives Monday through Saturday. Is God trying to get your attention this morning? Is He inviting you to not go the way of the Jews, not go the way of the nation of Israel, but turn back to Him? That invitation is there this morning. And we can remember that God is faithful again and again and again. And we remember that because he's holy. And because he's holy, he calls upon his people to live according to his will and according to his way. The nation of Israel did not do that. And consequently, they suffered the consequences. God wasn't blessing their obedience. God was disciplining their disobedience. And so today, if God is disciplining your disobedience, and the only one that can answer that, brothers and sisters, is you. I can't answer that. Nobody on our church staff or church office can answer that. Only you can answer that. You know what God is doing in your life. You know whether or not you're following the Lord or not. But today, if you find your life broken down, and it's because of God's discipline, I invite you to turn back to him. God is faithful ultimately because he knew we needed a Savior. Amen? And he gave his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and in our place and for our sin. If you're here today and you've never put your faith and trust in Christ as Lord and Savior, God's faithful. He's provided for you. And today he invites you to admit that you're a sinner. To believe that Jesus Christ, in the ultimate proof of his love for you, died on the cross in your place and for your sin. And today he invites you to call on the name of the Lord to save you. If you are saved this morning, would you consider that challenge that I gave everyone at the beginning of my message this morning? If you're a guest and not a member, would you consider becoming a member? If you're not serving in a ministry, would you look at our ministry opportunities and our announcements in today's bulletin, and would you find your place of service this next week? If you're not a regular giver, would you become a regular giver today? If you're not a tither today, would you begin tithing today? Brothers and sisters, God is faithful. And let us remember and respond to his faithfulness today on this Lord's day. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? In just a moment after I finish praying, Brother Ronnie and I will be here at the front. And I'm going to invite you to stand, and all across the auditorium we'll be standing and singing a familiar song. And as Brother Chris leads us, I want to invite you to respond publicly to God's word today. To remember his faithfulness. And what does that mean in your life? Well, it may mean that you need to make a new commitment. It may mean that you need to stop a certain behavior. It may mean that you need to join this church. It may mean that you need to call on the name of the Lord to save you. It may mean that you need to follow in believer's baptism. However God has spoken to you and however he is leading you this morning, I pray that you would allow him to have his way in your life. Father in heaven, we are grateful and thankful how Nehemiah has set the standard. And as he was the chief cupbearer, because you had sovereignly put him there. And then, Lord, you used him to lead the remnant, because you always provide. And Lord, forgive us. And we have not lived our lives according to your will. Lord, thank you for loving us so much that you will even discipline our disobedience and remind us that you love us. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. We trust you to have your way in our midst this morning during our invitation. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? As Brother Chris comes to lead us and Brother Ronnie and I are here at the front, Would you respond today publicly to how God has spoken to your life this morning?